Richard Heinberg, senior fellow at the Post Carbon Institute, speaks on our renewable future with an analysis of the fossil fuel supply and climate risk. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 11, it's the KBOO Bike Show, news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support of this community radio station. We so appreciate what you do to keep KBOO radio on the air. And now, stay tuned for KBOO's News in Depth. Good night, Nicole.
Good night, Jared.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO's News in Depth. The occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge station in eastern Oregon by anti-federal land management protesters continues in its fourth day. Yesterday, Harney County Sheriff David Ward urged the occupiers to leave the facility and go home to their families. Apparently, they have no intention of following that advice as they remain in the building, holding meetings and press conferences and engaging with visitors. One visitor, Portland resident and longtime environmentalist Don Francis, went out to Burns today to check out the scene for himself. He offers this intimate view of the situation and people inside the occupation in a conversation with KBOO's Paul Rowland earlier this afternoon. We turn to that interview now.
So I'm speaking with Don Francis, who's out there in Burns, near Burns, Oregon, at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge headquarters. So what brought you out there, Don?
Well, I guess I wanted to see for myself what was happening out here. My mother was a Quaker and wanted to bear witness. And I also wanted to come out and express my concern about the future of the landscape and access to it. And again, learn what exactly is going on out here from the people who are here, rather than just getting it, through, no offense, news media.
Right, or Facebook. Like, I just saw you posted something on Facebook that said you had just been talking with Ammon Bundy about the philosophy and politics of the environment and public land. How'd that go?
Well, it's been interesting. I've been also talking to one of their attorneys as well. So that's been really, really, it's been really, really interesting. I was basically in the process of restating what I understood it to be and getting some corrections on that. So I think I have a really good understanding of what it is they are, why they're here, what they're doing, what they're hoping to get out of it.
Okay. Well, could you enlighten us then?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, again, this is, where this is coming from, that God created the earth and God created the earth for people to use. And there's an implied stewardship within that too, but it's there for people to use. In the United States, the land, a lot of the land is now controlled by the federal government, which in their belief is unconstitutional. That's not what the federal government was ever to have a right to do. That was a state right, and it's supposed to be then given to county rights. So it's really about the federal government has no right to have control of land outside of things like Washington, D.C., 10 square miles, and other sort of selectively small areas, unless the federal government buys it.
Uh-huh. But, so did you make any counter-arguments?
No, I didn't make a counter-argument at all. I'm here to learn. and I'm also not a constitutionalist. I mean, these are the sort of things that have been debated since the founding of the country, you know, it was federalism versus state rights, et cetera. So, I mean, these, it's sort of an old, it's an old conversation.
So what, do you get a sense, you know, the sheriff there of Harney County, you know, very clearly put out the request for them to, you know, go back home to their families. Have they had a response to that?
I don't think that at this point is their plan at all.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that they're at this point, as far as I can tell, I think everyone's, you know, pretty much plans on staying here a much longer period of time. So the hope is, and kind of and trying to, well, I was going to continue on with their philosophy a little bit here and why they're here, and that is that, so what the by occupying the Malheur Field Station, is the idea is to demonstrate that the people should be able to rise up, basically as an example, and you can take control of your county. And the hope is that the people in Harney, they can help the people in Harney County get what was stolen from them by the federal government. And then that becomes an example across the nation for other people. Not that they're going to go from county to county, county across the country, or, you know, on federal land, but that other people can say, oh, well, we can do that here too, whatever's necessary, hopefully, and they'd say hopefully nonviolently, to take back what was stolen from them.
Uh-huh. So, but, I mean, do you have a sense of where most of the people are from, and how many people are there?
You know, I don't know exactly. There's security details that I don't know. They're not obvious. You know, I'm gonna guess a couple dozen people at least.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and one of the questions been, is there local support? And yeah, I mean, just as I was walking out the door to do this interview, two ranchers came walking in to meet with them. So they're you know, it's not like there's. I mean, I understand that a lot of people in Burns and this area don't support them. But there are people who, in fact, do support them. I think also there's probably a lot of people here who philosophically agree with them, but don't like the methodology that's being used here.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we do have a rural-urban split in our state, especially in other western states and in the western states. And people are unhappy and upset with the way, at least some people are, about how they feel the federal government and state governments have treated them.
I noticed that the Burns Paiute tribe, which is also located there, is going to have a press conference on this whole situation. And the tribal chairperson basically expressed her personal opposition. It wasn't a statement from the tribe itself to what's going on. Have you come across any of the Paiute people there? Is there any awareness that, you know, this is a more complicated history than just like the federal government and state and county, that actually that was native land?
I asked one of the attorneys for them here about, well, why wouldn't we argue that this belonged to the Indians? And if it's going to go back to somebody, we'd go back to the Indians. And her response was, you know, what claim does England have in the United States? None. Why? Because we beat them. Well, we beat the Indians. You know, the Indians lost to the white settler, the American government, the federal government, and therefore they are the winners, and it's their land now.
Mm-hmm. It's old standard argument. So who is this lawyer anyway?
I don't know her full name. So.
Huh. And so she's just there sort of to support them or to like mediate?
I saw her being interviewed in a big news conference. So she's representing them, as well. So I don't know her full name. It's probably pretty public.
Yeah.
Did you want me? I mean, I don't know if you need her name or not.
No. It's not important. I'm just curious. Obviously, they at least came prepared insofar as having a lawyer. How prepared? Because there's a lot of stuff going out in the media now, sort of making fun of them, saying, oh, they didn't, you know, they put out this call for snacks. What's the tenor of the of this, you know, occupation? How does it feel to you?
Well, when you say it feels, it's very low key.
Uh-huh.
It's very friendly. It's It's easy. I was, you know, I came, I arrived this morning at 9 o'clock with a couple boxes of donuts. My mom taught me never arrive at a party empty-handed, and you know, brought right in and sitting down and offered a cup of coffee, and you know, I've been here ever since.
Huh. Well, anything else? Any other impressions?
And I told him who I was. I said, I'm this, you know, liberal urban environmentalist from Portland who's a, you know, who's a environmental wacko, worked for Greenpeace in the past, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you know, they said, let's talk. This is interesting. Let's talk about things. So that's what I've been doing.
Well, good for you. It's good to have a mole on the inside. So, you know, any last thoughts?
Not much of a mole. It's all, yeah, right. I'm being completely honest with you. I'm not running any kind of any kind of hidden agenda here whatsoever.
No. I understand. But so, any other thoughts? You know, before we leave you.
Well, you know, this is this long schism we've had in Oregon and again other Western states with rural and urban people, and you know, I think that there's a real problem. I mean, there are people out here are suffering. Some of those people out here are suffering because of policies made by people a long ways away. And I think we need to figure out how to work better at being communicating and trying to reach these, you know, solutions that are acceptable to most people. You know, I mean, you can't make everybody happy all the time. And the last thing is, I guess, you know, what really, you know, what they said that what brought them out here, obviously, was the Hammonds. And the Hammonds, you know, these folks were sentenced to a 5-year prison sentence for, you know, for relatively minor crimes given the situation. And, you know, those are the kinds of examples that really, really anger people here, where they feel they're being picked on, they're being punished. And so, you know, one of the Hammonds went to prison for a year and one for 3 months. I mean, and these are, you know, these, yes, you know, I'd say they broke the law, but, you know, is it a 5-year federal prison term? You destroy people's lives with that. And that's not lost on the whole rest of the people out here. I mean, that's what the federal government does. That's just, I'd say that one more example of what the federal government does. They put people in prison for crazy prison sentences.
Well, maybe
for relatively minor, you know, comparatively minor crimes.
Well, maybe you should, you know, There's an irony in that most of the people who've been sentenced under that particular legislation have actually been environmentalists, so-called, you know, eco-saboteurs, or they're even called eco-terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you should ask them if they think they might find any common ground with the environmentalists, who are many, many more of whom were sentenced to much longer terms.
Glad you brought that up. One of the other things that was fascinating out here in hanging out with these folks is one of the people mentioned, you know, we're really cheering on the Occupy movement because, you know, that's those big corporations. And so there's a feeling that there's powerful entities in the world that want to break their backs. And those powerful entities are corporations, and they're the government. And it's the government working for the corporations and the corporations working for the government. But there is almost at times, in some ways, a broader common recognition, if you might say, or belief, that there are large, powerful forces, wealthy forces in the world, in the United States, that are subduing the average people.
Mm-hmm.
And though there's an overlap on from the left, if you will, and I don't know if you would call these people right or not, but you know, left and the right, where they believe the same thing. Some common perspective here with the environmentalists. And in fact, there was people, whether it was for my benefit or not, were giving a lot of acceptance of the importance of clean air and clean water, and that these things are really important things in our world. You know, I mean, when I was talking that I think I was getting his name wrong. When I was talking to Mr. Bundy, his belief was that, well, you know, if you don't like the way that area is being farmed, then you should boycott the farmer, and then you have the pressure put on the farmer. And I said, well, you know, the farmer may be, you know, a huge, you know, Fortune 500 corporation, you know, Archer Daniel Midland, Archer ADM or whatever it is. But in any case, I said, you know, the farmer may be a huge corporation. He said, well, then you need to get more people to boycott them. So it was sort of he was really trying to push sort of the non-regulatory, you know, approach to things. I think that's unfortunately, is not very successful, is going to work very well.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all very fascinating, Don. And good luck in your bridge building. And
sure. And I'm out here really not to so much have an argument, but as to pose questions to better understand and to learn what other people's perspectives are. I don't. It really isn't the. I'm not gonna persuade anybody here to be any different, and they're probably not gonna persuade me to be any different either. Well, maybe not persuade me, but I'm sure I'll be coming out of this a little bit of a changed person.
Well,
which I was hoping to do. I mean, that's a good thing.
Right. Well,
every experience leads to growth.
Feel free to ask if any of them want to be interviewed by KBOO. I mean, I think that would be interesting.
My landlord's a wealthy man, living off rent like the fat of the land.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of Eviction Free 2016, a rally and march organized by Portland Tenants United. On January 15th at 4:30 p.m., tenants will gather at Portland City Hall to demand an end to no-cause evictions, landlord retaliation, and persistent discrimination against racial minorities. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Hello, neighbors, if you try to stop an eviction, I'd be by your side. Hello, neighbors, you should fight for a right for the common good.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab.